From the ShopRite Tobacco Plus Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana's Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and on 1037thegame.com. It's just after 9 a.m. Let the hype begin. This is the Allen Michaels Show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Allen Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com. I am the hype.
Oh, hell yeah.
Welcome to February 23rd, 2018.
You're looking real jacked, baby.
And we're on our fifth day of the week. You add up all the other 4 days, you divide it by six, and then you do it by three, and then there's no sympathy for any of the other numbers. And then you rock and roll, and then you take all them numbers, you put them together, and we're at the end of the week. We made it, baby.
69.
Big Papa Pump math up in here. How the hell you do it? Whether you're listening worldwide on the 103.7 The Game mobile app, powered by the Golf Connection. We know golfers. We know golf. And we know cutting and a strutting. Or if you're right here in Acadiana, welcome to two sweet, yes, hours of bust-ass sports talk to get you through this part of your Friday morning. Oh, one of the best mornings of the week, always.
Woo!
Friday is here, and we have work to do before we blast off into the weekend. Big news coming out in college basketball this morning, and we will be ringing the bell in just a moment to talk about all of those people that will be going to jail because, yeah, people are going to jail. College basketball corruption at the forefront of the sports world today, but also we have a weekend to get ready for. LSU baseball and the Longhorns at the box this weekend. And that's going to be a very fun series and a very, not pivotal because it's still early in the season, but very important season or very important series for LSU pitching as Hess, Gilbert, and Peterson try to figure stuff out and Maneri tries to find out who he could rely on. Well, maybe we'll find that out this weekend. We'll talk about that with the King, George Faust, in about 10 minutes from KLFY News 10. He'll join us for some college baseball talk and some fireballs. And also on Twitter yesterday, have to bring this up. This is tailor-made for the Allen Michaels Show. Darius Geist, the sickest, who we love on Twitter, went at it with a Texas A&M freshman, an A&M running back who has not even played a down in the SEC.
Correct. Cultist, not freshman.
Excuse me, cultist. Someone, an Aggie cult member, and Darius Geis got into it on Twitter, and it got heated.
They got beef, dog.
Lots and lots of beef. I only eat beef once a week, but I'm making an exception because this is a whole lot of beef that you could really, really sink your teeth into, Cody. The sickest. Darius Geis, before the combine, a week out, is messing around with freshmen on Twitter?
Like that, though.
What the heck? We'll go over the beef. We'll give you all the tweets and also talk about whether or not this might hurt Darius Geis' draft stock at all. Probably not, but we'll see. SEC Media Days 2018, we're getting drumming up the excitement for that. The schedule came out yesterday, Cody. We always like that. I love schedule reveals. Can't wait for the NFL schedule to be revealed, but the SEC gave us this one, and this is exciting. We'll see where Coach O is going to land. Also, some fighting today. Mafia from Pharrell on the Bench will join me at 10:30 to talk about MMA, but also stupid rule changes in MLB and the NBA, and people going to jail in the NCAA. We'll get into everything we need to get into with the producer of Pharrell on the Bench later on. But most importantly today, we give away awards, and it's from you that we get our suggestions. 337-706-0111 to call in and give us your nominees for Best in the World and the Jabroni of the Week. I cannot wait to find out who gets those awards this week, because I do every week, but this week especially, because I feel like there are a lot of jabronis out there, I'm looking at you, Rob Manfred, Adam Silver, Canada. And there are a lot of bests in the world. USA Women's Hockey, Raging Cajun Basketball on fire. So we'll see who wins. Cody's putting together not only a great show for everybody because he's a producer unlike any other. He's not like most producers. Mm-mm. But he's also getting together all the information we missed. Headlines we missed later on in the show. Cody, you ready?
We will be.
Okay, good. Make sure you are. Make sure you're ready right now to talk about everybody going to jail. It's time to ring the bell for your morning main event.
You got little hair standing behind your neck, and you feel those goosebumps running through your body, and your head is on a swivel because you feel like somebody creeping behind you. No, it's not paranoia. It's the O's.
Oh, it's not paranoia. It's the feds coming after everybody in college basketball. People are going to jail. Yahoo Sports' Pat Forte and Pete Thamel reporting on documents and records that are opening up during the federal investigation into dirty-ass college basketball. And wow, wow, wow. Wire fraud. Bribery. Illicit funds. These are just some of the allegations some of the people involved are facing. Reads like a script of an episode of The Sopranos. You think you'd be talking about organized crime here. Episode 4, Season 2. Big goes to jail. Investigations looking into former NBA agent Andy Miller, his associate Christian Dawkins, and the agency ASM Sports. How they violated all of the rules and kept records of all of it. They had a big book of rules we are breaking. It said illegal college basketball activity. It was in a big binder, bunch of spreadsheets. And what was revealed were the spreadsheets with all the money and the reasons why money was being given to players, their families. It's insanity. Hundreds of pages discovered.
Dumbass.
That everything the NCAA fears is in these documents, rules-wise, both current and retroactive, going back to former NCAA players, guys who are in the NBA even right now. They were all involved, players getting money, their families getting money. It's insane. Wow. An underground recruiting operation, they're calling it. In any criminal organization, the most important thing is the foundation of how all the illegal business activity is run. Some mobs rely on muscle strong-arming local businesses like dry cleaners and butchers to get a cut. Some make their bread through drug rings. Some dabble in all sorts of illegal activity, and it adds up into one glorious amount of cash for a bunch of really, really rotten people. The NCAA, their foundation, it's called amateurism rules. Amateurism. That's how the NCAA is able to be what they are. Amateurism. And the rules are in place so that cash is not flowing through any hands but the NCAA's. And the pious NCAA does not allow that. But these documents plainly show us that lots and lots of people are disregarding those rules. Some even within the organization. Some that are the most prominent institutions within the organization. Breaking the rules of amateurism outright. University officials, coaches, admins, agents, players, players' mamas, their daddies, uncles, and fourth cousins. People are going to jail. Hell, even the trainers, the boosters, and the bagmen. People are going to jail. Just to give you a glimpse at some of the actual names we saw in these documents, players-wise, and what they received. Just in the dunk contest, Dennis Smith Jr. $50,500, according to these documents, from ASM agent Steven Pina. And Dennis Smith received $73,500 in loans. Holy moly. Diamond Stone, formerly of Maryland, $14,000, according to these documents. And wow, oh wow, people are going to jail, maybe even in Baton Rouge. Tim Quarterman, former LSU Tiger. Hold that tiger. Tim Quarterman got $16,000, according to this spreadsheet.
Somebody got ripped off.
Whoever spent $16,000 on Tim Quarterman,
you should go to jail.
Yes.
Or slap nuts for life.
Definitely a slap nut. What kind of slap nuts given Tim Quarterman $16,000?
To be angry about Ben Simmons being on the same team as him.
And what's even funnier is that Tim Quarterman got more money than first overall pick, who stinks so far in his NBA career, but he was the first overall pick. Markelle Fultz got $10,000. He did not sign with ASM. He signed with Roc Nation. R-O-C-K, we do not pay college players because they're legit, Jay-Z.
You know what? You just made me realize why Quarterman got more. Dude can rap.
That might be it, because of his rap career.
Multi-talented.
Other names you saw in these documents that are actually pretty prominent: Kyle Kuzma, Kyle Lowry, Nerlens Noel, Jared Jeffries. You need money to get great players in college basketball. All those guys were great college basketball players and pretty darn good NBA players, too. Several players, families of players, got more than $1,000 in payments from ASM. And we saw all sorts of stuff on this spreadsheet. Money for things like flights and meals and loans, ATM withdrawals. Nothing fun like taking Uncle Cletus out to Cheetah's or the Pussycat Lounge.
The guy that, if he won the lottery, was going to get a bunch of hookers and cocaine.
None of that. That would have been great if on the spreadsheet, because there's a lot of blatant, if it just said, Uncle Jeff, hookers and cocaine. I wouldn't be surprised. We have not seen all the documents, but we have seen Chipotle, ATM withdrawal, flight to whatever college. So many people have already been arrested, and more will be arrested because people are going to jail. The NCAA will have to banish, suspend, and go after so many schools. Who knows how the organization will look after all this is said and done. Hopefully it leads to a more transparent and logical system. I don't know about all that. All I know is that for now, people are going to jail. 337-706-0111. To call in if you want to talk about all these people going to jail, and if you think the $16,000 on Tim Quarterman was money well spent. Coming up next, the King, George Faust, joins us, but not after this Olympic update from Wesson 1. It's the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game. It shall be known that if you ever pay an NCAA player and violate NCAA rules, and you are a member of the Acadiana sports media, our king will throw you and lock you away in his mighty dungeon. People are going to jail. Welcome back to the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Let's go to the Artco Equipment Hotline and talk about all the insanity going on in the world with our mighty king, the one and only George Faust from KLFY News 10. What's up, King?
Not much. Good morning to you. Hope you're having a great Friday so far.
I'm having a lovely Friday. I just have to ask you, though, why would anybody in their right mind give Tim Quarterman $16,000?
I don't know. That doesn't seem like a good investment. Given the King $16,000, that's a good idea. But, I don't know. I don't know. I heard you mention that, and I was thinking, first off, that's an odd number. And, couldn't be 15 or 20.
That's like the number. I guess you could buy a small car for that.
A down payment on it. You could get... You can put a hefty down payment on a nice Yukon, or I guess back then it was Broncos or whatever it was. Yeah.
This mess, Fausti. I'm not even going to bother you with college basketball and the trouble they're in, man. Let's talk about what we got coming up this weekend, though. LSU baseball. It's going to be a really fun series against the Texas Longhorns. LSU pitching woes starting off very rocky. I'd say horrendous. What do you think, though? Is this going to last all season long, the terrible starting pitching, or will it be sorted out?
I really think it'll be sorted out. I think they just don't know what they have. I think that's the problem right now. I think Coach Maneri, he knows who he has, but he doesn't know how they react and how they perform when the bright lights are on. You know, so in the end, I think they'll end up figuring it out. I don't know if it'll be as what they're used to, but maybe this is a year where they're going to have to do Johnny Holstaff for the whole, for a majority of the year, you know, and try and get whoever's pitching on the hot streak, that's who gets it. It's definitely been interesting to watch because in a program of that caliber, you'd expect, you know, hey, we have our guys, we know who's going to go 1-2-3 Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I'm more on the side of, hey, they'll figure it out. And if it doesn't figure out, I think I'd be more shocked. You know, if we get to midway through the season and they still haven't kind of figured out their Friday, Saturday kind of weekend rotation, that's when I'd start to get concerned a little bit because, you know, once the latter three quarters of the season's gone, you know, you're kind of getting into that, hey, let's start thinking about the SEC tournament and how we can, you know, make our hay. If you haven't figured out by then, you're really in trouble.
Yeah, I think they're just aiming for maybe even mediocrity pitching-wise because I think that batting order, the lineup is so strong. That's why this team's going to be such a fun team to watch all season long because they might be in a whole lot of high-scoring games.
Dude, I'd be all about some gorilla ball blast back to 1996 and watch, you know, the balls just fly. Eddie Furness. That was 96, but yeah, you get me. The hot bats, and man, I would love to see that. That would be phenomenal because it was so fun. I mean, in 96, I had the chance to cover the SEC tournament. I was in Mississippi, and man, those, like, I think that the championship game was Alabama and LSU, if I remember correctly, and LSU ended up winning it, but it was like 16-15. I was like, this is great. Like, I just remember being there going, man, they're hitting the tar out the ball. You know, it's unbelievable.
Ryan Terrio, Mike Fondo. Yeah, we could see something like that this year, just the spraying the ball all over the place because they're going to need to, and they've needed to so far. LSU going into a big series against the Longhorns. Can be heard all weekend long right here on 103.7 The Game. We're talking to George Faust from KLFY News 10. Hey, King, are you ready for some fireballs?
Light it up, baby.
Let's rock! All right, King. Pelicans take flight again tonight after the All-Star break. Anthony Davis said that Kevin Garnett made him think about it. Do you think the Pels are closer to the light or closer to the abyss?
Look, if Boogie can come back and will play with the Pels next year, I think they're closer to the light. Does that make sense? If AD, you know, ends up leaving, obviously they're going to be in a whole world of hurt. So I'm going to go optimistic here because I think this year they might squeak in just because they had such a great first half and then the injury happened. It doesn't look good, but then if it doesn't look good, there's always a bright side, you know, because you're already halfway down to the bottom. So, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you. I'm going to have more on AD's situation later. It is very interesting. It makes you think, King. Let's talk MLB rules changes. Hello, Princess. MLB rules changes, King. No batting order in the ninth inning being considered. Are you for or against that?
No batting order. I you know what? I'm more of a traditionalist. I don't think we need to change a whole lot. I know there's like in the NBA too. They got some rule ideas that are changing up. Baseball's pretty solid the way it is. I think it's kind of Let's not mess with what's working right now.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But what about the NBA playoffs? They're thinking about going no conferences, just 1-16 seeds for the playoffs. Are you for or against that?
I don't like that either. It's not college basketball. You know, it's not in college basketball. You have so many teams that it doesn't matter. How they're ranked, and if you get a Duke and a North Carolina in the Sweet 16, that's a great thing. But if you get a second round matchup between Houston and Golden State, or Cleveland and Golden State, then that kind of diminishes the, and it messes up the Western Eastern Conference. I kind of like the way it is, you know. In the NFL, they got the you would never see an NFC team play an NFC team in the Super Bowl.
Never.
So I can't get my head around that right now.
Me neither. The King has come out against it, and hopefully it never happens. King, enjoy your weekend, man, and we'll holler next Friday.
Looking forward to it, man. All right, y'all have a great weekend.
The King, George Faust from KLFY News 10, with a run in there from the Princess Fausti. Coming up next on the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game, Darius Geis getting into a big old Twitter beef. What now for the LSU running back? Before the NFL, you're kidding me. Keep it locked. It's 103.7 The Game. Do you love Festival? I know you do. Who doesn't? Do you love the fact that Festival is so accessible and so... Wouldn't you like to keep it that way? Well, you better believe it. We all want that. And that's why we're having a telethon, baby, on KDCG-TV, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. this coming Monday, February 26th. It'll be an evening of live performances from the likes of Zachary Richard and Sweet Cecilia. Plus, you'll get 7 historic festival video compilations, appearances from past presidents and founding members, as we reflect on the magic and evolution of Festival International. Be a me du festival and watch and donate and win something from the awesome auctions they're going to have on Monday night, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. only on KDCG-TV.
Every day this show is still on the air is a gift.
Check it in, man.
That's why they call it the present. It's the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game.
We're bugging. And we're getting buck nutty because it's Friday. It's the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. But we don't thug and bug as hard as NCAA college basketball. Obviously, we have our limits. They don't. They're spending. They're paying. They're doing backdoor deals. And at the end of it all, people are going to jail. Tweet it, read it, tout it, shout it, be all about it. At Alan Michaels Show on the Twitter. At 103.7 The Game on Facebook. I said Facebook like I was an old guy, because old people now use Facebook. That's the facts, Cody. You using Facebook much these days? You're an Instagrammer, aren't you? You're a Snapchatter.
Yes, and Facebook is there.
It's there. You have it, but it's really so you could check in on your aunt and say happy birthday.
It's that old reliable. It's always been there, it seems like, and you have, 2,000 more friends on there than you know, and one of those things, yeah.
It's just there.
It's the good one. It's the good social media gimmick to go to when you need to feel good about yourself. Odds are you've got plenty friends.
It's not the social media gimmick where the things happen, though. The things happen on the Twitter. That's where everything happens. News and beef.
If you're right with a bird, it's called a tweet.
If you're a vegan, stay away from Twitter, because you're bound to run into a whole lot of beef. And an LSU A well-known LSU player named Darius Geis. Ever heard of him? Going into the NFL this year? Yeah, he got into a really major Twitter spat, as they call it. Back and forth, back and forth. And Darius Geis got so mad at the end of it all, he deleted a few of the tweets. He didn't say anything really too heinous or any. He didn't say anything heinous at all. He didn't say anything bad. He didn't use bad language, really. He just kind of got after this youngster who was knucking and bucking and acting like he was all that and a bag of cracklins. And Geis tried to put him in his place. Who's this young guy on Twitter acting so cool? Acting like his poo-poo don't stink. That would be freshman Texas A&M Aggie Leon O'Neal Jr., who has played, just for the record, zero downs in the SEC. None. He's a freshman. He signed on with A&M. He's coming on to them now. So if I had a dime for every time Leon O'Neal Jr. has gained a yard in the SEC or scored a touchdown in the SEC or even carried the ball in the SEC, I would have zero dimes. None. Darius Geis carried the ball a whole lot. He's off. He's left college football. He's going to the NFL. He's going to be at the combine next week. He had 3,000 plus yards. If I had a dime for every yard he gained, I'd have a lot of dimes, Cody. I don't know the math on that, but that's like, I could get a pretty good lunch with all the dimes I get from all the yards Geis actually got in college football.
Yep.
32 touchdowns. I'd kind of want like at least 20 for every touchdown. Multiple 200-plus yard games for Darius Geis. He truly earned the Twitter handle at the sickest, because he was the sickest running back the last couple of years in the SEC. Leon O'Neal Jr., though, has not even stepped foot on a field yet, but he's on Twitter, he's puffing his chest, and he's saying, LSU going to hate me. That's how the whole thing started. Scheduled for one fall, it's a Twitter cage match at Wake 'Em Up 9, a.k.a. Leon O'Neal Jr. of the A&M Aggies, versus future NFLer at the sickest, Darius Geis. And yeah, woo! It started with at Wake 'Em Up 9, Leon O'Neal Jr. saying, LSU going to hate me. Why? Just poking bears, I guess. Going out there acting like he's all hard. Like it doesn't smell in College Station. We all know it doesn't. We got a lot of cows there. Darius Geis responded, LSU not worried about you. It's true. Did you know who LSU? Did you know who Leon O'Neal Jr. was before this? Cody, you represent the Tigers.
Yep.
Hold that tiger and tell me. Do you know who this Leon O'Neal Jr. was?
Nope.
When I saw the name Leon O'Neal Jr., I thought it was from the Ninja Turtles, and April had a son. Apparently not.
Junior.
So no one knew who he was. He responded to Darius Geis saying, LSU not worried about you.
You dirty rat.
He said, Wake 'Em Up 9 says, all caps, done talking, we can link since you think it's sweet over here at the sickest. Can you translate that for us, Cody? We can link since you think it's sweet over here.
Why don't you head over to Starkville and come get these hands?
You mean College Station.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, College Station, come get these hands.
I've been a cult washed brain.
You're getting your cults mixed.
So we're not talking about the one with the bells and that, we're talking about the ones that wear all white.
Yeah. Okay. And they have like the dudes in overalls going, are you ready to yell? Before we yell, we have to practice. Yay!
Oddly, never any females around too. That's weird pointing it out.
Darius Geis responded to Leon O'Neal Jr. basically tell him to come get these hands. And Geis said in all caps, get through college, son. You a little kid. You ain't even graduate high school. You talk too much. Oh. And yes, I would definitely say Leon O'Neal Jr. is getting that on Twitter.
I can't be too horny.
A little too much. And he does talk too much. Darius Geis called him out on it. But the young buck, so brash, so confident, responds. He said, at the sickest, ZZZ, get some shut-eye, hashtag wake him up. And along that tweet, he accompanied it with a video of Darius Geis getting hurt against Texas A&M and getting hit pretty hard.
Shut up, you stupid nerd.
And that
is a real dirtbag.
And that is where Darius Geis loses it. He says, I've never seen someone talk so much smack and ain't ever touch a college field yet. You really trash, son. Emoji crying, laughing. Show me some stats. All you can do is show me videos of myself because you have zero on a college field. He then said, Leon O'Neal Jr. said, boys lean on these old ass dubs as if I was there. We from Texas, but say less. Darius Geis responded, you trash.
Burn it down!
At Wake 'em Up 9, Leon O'Neal Jr. then says, boy, STFU, which is censored for radio if I actually said what that stood for.
John Cena's finisher. Submission finisher.
You and the only player I argue with on here, like I said, I'm done talking. Pull me up on me and see home them Texas boys get down. And Darius Geis responded, you done talking? That's a first. Still ain't bout no action.
Oh, that's so rad.
This beef is getting pretty rad, I'd have to say. This is getting good. And then Leon O'Neal Jr., the freshman from Texas A&M, says, got the sickest hot right now.
I thought he was done talking.
Smiling but crying, laughing, emoji face, goofy ass boy.
It's just like, you know what he's doing? He's opening up his messages, and then, you know, you've got the predictive words on top, and he's just punching the word in the middle over and over and over.
Darius Geis responds, and he looks like he actually typed it out himself. He said, hot at what? You just need to grow up. You won't last long like this talking, censored for radio, about every team and going back and forth with players that did it before you. That is the very mature thing to say, Darius Geis. But why are you still tweeting at this kid? Leon O'Neal Jr. then responded.
Of course he did.
Grow up. You arguing with me. I never at you. I'm about whatever you talking about, though, my guy. Thumbs up.
Loser.
And then Darius Geis responded, dude, you go back and forth with everyone on here all day, every day. You talk too much. Just show up and show out. Been told you that. And then it ended. Thank God. It's not a good look for anybody. Leon O'Neal Jr., punk kid, Texas A&M.
Let's get it all.
What does he have to gain by calling out LSU football? I don't know, just riling up Aggie fans. Okay, well, I understand that.
He gets the Alan Michael show to talk about him for 10 minutes.
He does. I'm going to talk about any kind of good Twitter beef like that. He gets some pub, I guess. And now I can't wait to see Leon O'Neal Jr. get hit really hard in SEC football.
Well, I mean, you know, when he goes up against Darius Geis. Oh, wait. Calling out a guy you'll never see.
Yeah, and they play the same position. It's very odd. But also, it's very odd that Geis gave this much time of day. Like, so much that we had to talk about it today. Darius Geis going into the combine the end of next weekend.
He's going to get
drafted. Where's he projected on the draft, on the charts, from the guy with the nice hair and that doofus nobody likes?
Oh, MKJ. He's got Darius Geis going 20th to the Detroit Lions, and Todd McShay does not have him in the first round.
I saw SI mock draft had Geis going to the Steelers, actually, in the first round, with a Le'Veon Bell contract falling through.
And they had that other Connor guy, right?
James Connor. So we're talking about Darius Geis possibly going first round, second round. Does this hurt his stock at all? Does this get execs to see, this guy just won't leave freshmen alone? If there's going to be no punishments for this at all. It's just a silly Twitter beef. But if anything gets punished, it will be Darius Geis' wallet. Because you know Jimbo is not going to punish Leon O'Neal Jr. Not happening. Unless
he ran laps at practice.
Yeah, sprints. I'd have to say, if you're asking me if anybody won this, It's the punk kid, the young buck. Darius Guy should have just let that go, but I do enjoy that he repped LSU hard there.
I just don't, the kid kept repeating every tweet started with, I'm done talking. I'm done. Every tweet, go back.
Guys shouldn't have gave him the time of day, but also credit for sticking up for the university that you played so well for and you're going to represent into the future. I love seeing that.
What a great time.
Hold that, Tiger. Twitter beefs getting out of control going into the combine next week. You best believe we'll be breaking down the tails of the tape and the measurements and the shuttles and the cones. I can't wait next Friday. It's
on. Guys 1-0 in bar fights.
Running backs will be running all over the place in Indianapolis next Friday. 1 week out. We're 5 months out from SEC Media Days, but we have our schedule for that. We'll let you know when Coach Ogeron will be talking so you can mark your calendars. It's the Alan Michaels Show. Nom, 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 nom. Eating up all the Twitter beefs on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game.
He's live every day.
Monday, July 16th, Ed Orgeron will be live and in color at SEC Football Media Days in Atlanta, GA, front of College Football Hall of Fame. The schedule was our annual hype event. It's so good. I love SEC Media Days. I cannot wait. I'm counting down the days now. Just under,
I am the hype!
Just under 5 months away.
In the SEC, it just means more.
Just means more media days. Bigger, better than ever, buddy. It's the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Tweet me at Alan Michaels Show if you have a nominee for Best in the World or Jabroni of the Week. I want to know it. I'm putting it together now. Who could possibly win? I have some nominees in front of me. Hand glops here, Cody. Nominating for Jabroni of the Week, all of college basketball. It's pretty rough this morning for him. I don't know if makes you a jabroni. It's just a corrupt organization.
Makes dumbass. You a dumbass.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it doesn't affect SEC Media Days. That's all I care about. Monday, July 16 through July 19, the coaches of the SEC will gather and make jokes and say great things that we'll be playing on the radio and making fun of. Ed Orgeron's going to share the spotlight with Jimbo Fisher that day. Jimbo Fisher will be the main event, it looks like, along with Mark Stoops.
Stupid idiot!
And then you have new faces the next day, Chad Morris. From Arkansas. Well, and then new place, Dan Mullen in Florida. Kirby Smart, Matt Luke. And then the final day, of course, will be headlined. Oh, no, it won't be headlined by Nick Saban. It won't.
By request.
Looks like Gus Malzahn or Will Muschamp will be. Maybe even Derek Mason. Oh, wow. Cannot wait. 5 months from now.
That's like Elias winning the Elimination Chamber.
It could happen. Get the calendar out, Cody, and start X-ing out the days before SEC Media Days. The highlight of the year. Conor McGregor yesterday was also in the news. Speaking of SEC Media Days. It's called a segue, kids. That's how you do it. Conor McGregor claiming that he was down to fight at UFC 222. Now, we're going to bring this up with Mafia, our guest in hour number two at 10:30 from Pharrell on the Bench. We love to talk MMA with him. Conor McGregor says, I was down for a fight at 222 when Frankie Edgar lost his opponent. Now he's facing Brian Ortiz. Conor on Instagram said, quote, I am fighting again, period. I am the best at this. I put my name forward to step up in at UFC 222 to face Frankie Edgar when Max Holloway pulled out. But I was told there wasn't enough time to generate the money that the UFC would need. I was excited about bouncing and last minute and taking out the final featherweight without all the rest of the stuff that comes with this game. Please respect the insane amount of work outside the fight game that I've put fighting. I am here. It is on them to come and get me. because I am here. Yours sincerely, the Champ Champ, trademarked.
Does it say trademarked?
It says TM, yes.
Okay. Conor McGregor, he's down.
Says he was down. They did not make that fight. They made it Brian Ortiz against Frankie Edgar. Do you believe Conor? I don't see why you wouldn't. But Frankie Edgar's management doesn't like that. One of his managers called Conor McGregor a high-class prostitute.
Well, that's called, it's kind.
Who did not want any of Frankie Edgar, and now he's claiming that he wants him. He's avoided Frankie Edgar for 3 years. Instead of Conor McGregor, it's Brian Ortega and Frankie Edgar. Not as much juice going into 222 as there could have been, I guess, huh? They had to get Chris Cyborg to main event it instead. That'll be a good fight, though. But Conor avoiding Frankie Edgar? I don't know. I don't even know. All I know is that everybody hates Conor McGregor in the UFC that's a fighter. They want to fight him. They want a piece of him. They're talking trash. They'll call him a high-class prostitute. They'll say he's scared. All this stuff.
It was a bit of fun.
And when everybody hates him and he has beef with everybody, I can't really decide what fight I want to see next among all those guys. So to me, the only guy I want to see Conor McGregor fight next is Nate Diaz.
Dustin Poirier.
Now you're talking. Dustin Poirier has a minute to go. They're just not going to give him that fight. He probably wins this next fight against Gaethje. Even if he won a belt, they wouldn't give him that fight. That's why I didn't even bring it up. It's not even realistic.
Conor says he was down, though. I believe him that he was down because he took a fight that he knew he would lose. And don't say that he didn't know he would
lose. But that was all about money.
But UFC is his yard.
Yes, it is. And they didn't want to pay him money to face Frankie Edgar. They want to pay him money to face someone big.
Dana,
a big name.
Dana Cheapskate White.
Someone people like. Someone who's not afraid to spark a Texas fly-sized blunt inside of an arena in Texas.
I don't know who you could be referring to.
Make the fight! Make the trilogy! Give us Diaz and McGregor 3.
Make the fight, make the trilogy, make your life a better place.
That's what I'm talking about. Stockton represent. When we get back, the Alan Michaels Show gives you, lights it up, and gives you the hottest take of the week on 103.7 The Game.
Live and direct from the ShopRite Tobacco Plus Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and on 1037thegame.com. It's just after 10 a.m. Hour 2 of the Alan Michaels Show starts right now.
Yeah! Final hour of the week, baby!
Looking real, Jack.
Oh, hell yeah.
Make your life a better place.
And our life is the best place right now because we are live and in color on 103.7 The Game.
Live every day.
Worldwide on the 103.7 The Game mobile app. Powered by the Golf Connection. We know golfers. We know golf. And we know that the UFC needs to make Diaz versus McGregor already. Tired of all the BS.
Yes!
Put my foot down.
Yeah.
See if
yes.
Mafia from Pharrell on the Bench agrees with me later on this hour. 10:30. The notorious producer from Pharrell on the Bench on CBS Sports Radio joins the program to talk about MMA as well as all the stupid rule changes that they're pondering and making in MLB and NBA. And
we fear change.
And also we'll talk about all these people going to jail because of the corruption in college basketball. Somebody gave Tim Quarterman $16,000, and that stood out like a sore thumb on all these documents I was looking at, Cody. I don't know if you looked at the Yahoo report yet, but they had all the names and all the stuff that they found so far of how players were paid and their families got, you know, trips to East Lansing and to
Aspen,
Lexington,
Colorado.
And how, you know, uncles were paid in loans or whatever. Nothing looked as ridiculous as that number 16,000 next to the name Tim Quarterman to me. How about you?
Somebody got screwed.
Somebody, even if it was a legal $16,000.
Right.
It was just someone Venmo'd Tim
all
Quarterman.
All above the table.
He Venmo'd him because he just wanted to, you know, give him some money as a friend outside of any kind of dealings. Is, you know, it's totally illegal somehow. He still should go to jail.
He bought all the copies of Tim Quarterman's mixtape.
Tim Quarterman built your house. He fixed your car. I don't know. He did some other task for you that was totally legit. You still should not be Venmoing him $16,000. Not that Tim Quarterman was like a terrible player or anything. I'm just saying. Although, if they paid college players, I guess that would be the number that some of them would be making. How much would a 69. College player be getting? $69,000?
No.
$69?
$6,900.
$6,900 for the entire year? That's not a lot.
No, for a season.
For the season?
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think that's a lot.
It's nice, though.
It's nice, but I guess I could have lived off that in college, definitely.
Nice.
I wouldn't have had to do all those work studies. Although,
all of them.
Although it was the most fulfilling kind of work ever. See, that's what these players need to be doing. Quit asking to be paid and go out there and change some light bulbs on campus. That's what Alan Michael did.
Do work.
In between skipping class and just hanging out at the radio station all day playing tickle butt, changed all the light bulbs in the University of Pittsburgh.
They didn't even ask me to.
They wouldn't have even had lights if it weren't for me. I earned my $550.
Real Pitt Panther right there.
Tim Quarterman, just getting $16,000 thrown in your lap for nothing. Some bag man coming up to you saying, here's six, go play basketball. And then don't really do much else afterwards. And don't get to the tournament.
Wow.
People are going to jail. People should go to jail also in the MLB. Because what they're thinking of doing is despicable. We're going to go over this because Rich Eisen the other day on his radio program said that he's hearing league executives actually brought up the idea of getting rid of a batting order in the ninth inning of Major League Baseball games. Only for the team trailing, too, which is asinine.
We fear change.
We're going to talk about that stupid bogus rule. If that ever comes to light, I don't know. Someone better start the XLB. That's all I got to say.
Dum, 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 dum.
337-706-0111. If you have an opinion on any of that, let us hear you. Of course, Best in the World, Jabroni of the Week will be crowned. Tweet me at Alan Michael Show or Facebook us at 1037 The Game for your nominees. Tick-tock to get those in. Time to get the hottest take of the weekend. Let's set this place aflame and talk Pelicans. We're taking flight as we dive into the fire. That makes no sense.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you
back! Let me stand next to your fire.
Into the fire.
Anthony Davis. He's experienced a lot in his first 5 years in the NBA. His raw talent immediately guided him to become one of the NBA's elite players. He became the face of a franchise and in turn got expectations. He got some stroke. And that stroke led to the team making a blockbuster trade for DeMarcus Cousins. And that blockbuster trade put Anthony Davis on the cusp of not only being an elite player, but the leader of a team who he believed was on the right path to becoming an elite contender. Then, one of the roughest experiences of his career, Anthony Davis had to see his teammate go down. Boogie Cousins was injured, and all that pain that came before the arrival of DeMarcus Cousins, it came rushing right back into the organization and Anthony Davis. Ouch. And with a new low in morale reached before the All-Star break, friends, media, and mentors started asking Anthony Davis about whether New Orleans is still the best place for him in order to become a winner. Anthony Davis was quoted over All-Star weekend 2018 saying, "It really makes you think." That's troubling if you're a fan of the New Orleans Pelicans. While most people still did not see the Pels as too far down the road towards big-time success, we all recognize that Davis was very pleased with the direction of the organization, and he was happy because the front office did what they had to do in order to get good players around him, and it looked like they were moving towards the right direction. The good news is that Anthony Davis saw that and knows that the people in charge want what he wants. Win. They want to win, and so does he. The real troubling part, though, is the fact that it most likely is not meant to be for Anthony Davis in New Orleans. Constant injuries, a lack of wiggle room in the front office in terms of cap space in the coming years to really go after players with max contracts, that can't happen. So they really are handcuffed as an organization, and that might wind up with Anthony Davis choosing to go to greener pastures in the next 2 or 3 years. That's down the road, though. There's plenty left to experience for Anthony Davis as a New Orleans Pelican before these kinds of decisions are made, although I don't know how much. While the media will never talk about the here and the now when it comes to the NBA, Davis and his teammates seem focused on preserving what they can from this season. They're going after it. Having only been to the playoffs once in his already illustrious career, Anthony Davis, being the true competitor that he is, I have no doubt he's going to do everything he can to make sure his teammates and the organization put everything into making the playoffs this year. And hell, you might think that's all for naught, but even getting to an 8th seed just for the Pelicans to lose in round one, it's still better than having an angry and defeated superstar on their hands. The Pelicans don't make the playoffs this year. Anthony Davis is not going to be happy. The Pelicans have lost Boogie Cousins for the season, but that could be manageable and something they can overcome. What cannot happen is Anthony Davis losing hope. If that happens, it makes you think. Kevin Garnett told Anthony Davis about staying in one place for too long during the midseason NBA fiesta in Los Angeles. And if Anthony Davis thinks about his situation and how similar it is to the other legendary big, KG, the Pelicans could be screwed. You might as well consider them the Minnesota Timberwolves of the South, because that's what they will become if Anthony Davis thinks about it too much and leaves. If Davis plays and the front office gets creative, this thing still can happen. They can win. Most importantly, if Boogie Cousins returns from injury and is back to form, the train will be completely back on the tracks. Funny to think about, though, because a few months ago, wasn't it all about making sure Boogie stays in town? Wow. That really makes you think. 337-706-0111 to call in if you want to take flight and do it big. I welcome it. How about that, though? Literally, a couple months ago, it's all about keeping Boogie in town. How do they keep Boogie in town? Gotta win now. And then Boogie gets hurt. Now it's, oh my God, how are we going to keep Anthony Davis in town without Boogie? And Boogie's probably thinking the same now. Hopefully I can get back to form. Otherwise, what the hell? That would be so sad to see. We're going to move on from the depressing Pelican situation and talk about the depressing MLB situation. What are they trying to screw up now with the Major League Baseball? Oh, no. It's coming up next. This is the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game. I speak English, baby, I can't talk. I don't that you came to party, baby, 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 baby. Look like we're gonna leave this party with somebody else's lady. I don't that you came to party, baby, 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 baby. Look like we're gonna leave this party with somebody else's lady. Let me buy you a drink. Baby, can I get a dance? I don't even know what to think. Tweeter in, it's how to be all about it. It's what the cool kids say on the Twitter, at Alan Michaels Show. Best in the world, Jabroni of the Week. Who you got? Cody, you got our headlines we missed already coming up? I can't wait to see what we didn't get to this week.
The compilation has begun.
I feel like we've been edging on getting everything all week long and edging, but we might have missed a few things. That's what that segment's for, so... No more edging. Get to it. Headlines we missed at the end of the show. Be ready.
The climax of the week on the Alamo.
I can't wait till it all finishes. I can't wait till the MLB stops changing the game of baseball and ruining a good thing. They already did it.
We fear change.
They already did it this week with the stupid mound visits rule.
Six
visits only. Why six? Because the right number. Because I'm Rob Manfred. And now I'm going to look into eliminating batting orders.
6, 10, what's the difference? I just love the number 6 for no reason.
Now we're going to have no batting order in the ninth inning. And you know what? We might even get to 6-out inning now. We're going to make that inning 6 outs. And everybody has to bat with heavier bats. We're going to make a metal, solid steel bats. And yeah, those are new rules.
What?
New rules.
What?
Because I'm Rob Manfred. And this is my MLB. Got to keep up with the NBA and the NFL, you know.
We fear change.
Pension spans are lowering.
What?
All the kids are really, really stupid these days. They can't handle a 3-hour baseball game.
What?
Gonna have to Twitter. Facebook tells me to. Sorry. Sorry,
what?
Baseball. Over 100 years, game's been played the same way. Time to change it. What the hell's going on? The rumor and innuendo is that the league executives are mulling over eliminating the batting order for the team trailing in the ninth inning. If you're trailing,
delete.
You do not have to adhere to a batting order. That means if you're the Yankees, yeah, we're going to go put Stanton and Judge in there right away, even if, you know, we're at the bottom of our order.
Is that really what this means?
Yes. It really means
there's no way.
There's no batting order in the ninth inning. That's what they're mulling over.
There's no chance that this will never work. This...
I mean, it makes sense to do that. Why?
No,
it doesn't. I'm not for it, but you could do that. You could also just get rid of any rules or regulations you have on using pitchers. Why keep a pitcher from returning to the game? Have Verlander pitches the first 4 innings, you take him out, and then you put him back in the ninth. Why not?
Yeah, it's got an almost improvisational tone.
Who cares about that? Why keep those rules? How about we just put a bunch of really athletic guys out there on defense, but none of them have to hit? We'll have a whole lineup of DHs.
There's no rules.
All designated hitters. Why not? It's going to make the game more fun, and the pace of play will increase, Cody. We could be talking about hour-long baseball games. Be fun. We'll put a limit though. Only you could, if you score 6 runs in an inning, the inning ends because we need to move this game along.
What?
We're just trying to make the game better. That's why we're making rules up. Seems that way at least. So none of those ideas I just pitched, you think you would be in favor of, Cody? Because I guarantee you, league executives and Rob Manfred are listening because. Well, I'm the target demo, right? I'm a millennial. I'm a little bit older than the people they're trying to get hooked, but hey, you get my attention, you can get their attention, because we don't have time to watch your game. We need 1 hour we can give you. We'll give you an hour, and we're done.
Stupid idiot!
Also, when we're at the field, we're at the ballpark, we're going to need some incentive as well. I'm not talking about just, you know, like free beer to sit in the bleachers. I need like real incentive. Get me tickets to concerts.
1 hour, anything goes.
If you sit in a certain section, you automatically will get Twitter followers from everybody involved with the organization. Cody, you could go to a Houston Astros game, and because everybody in the organization follows you because of where you're sitting, you'll get 500 added followers. It's good for your social media status.
Yeah, still don't care.
It's going to make the game better, the game experience better. You know a great way to make the game experience better? Stop looking through my lunch pail when I'm bringing in a bunch of water because I don't want to buy your $12 waters. Let me bring my own hot dogs and Cracker Jack because yours are gross unless you're Dodger Stadium. And also, let me sit anywhere in the stadium even though I paid for an upper deck seat, but the whole place is empty, and I want to sit closer to first base. Let me be a fan. How about that? That'll get people to go to your games.
No.
The game's too long. Nothing wrong with the damn game.
Patience!
Jagoffs. The rationale is that for this rule change, specifically, Cody, batting order is because the marquee players sometimes are just completely left out at the end of the game. Oh, no! We could be at the ninth inning! Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton don't even get the hit? Why? Players only! That's tough. The NBA, you would never see LeBron sitting out in the final 2 minutes. Drew Brees. Drew Brees wouldn't have. The Saints have the ball. They're not going to sit Drew Brees in the last quarter. Star players.
Stay in your lane.
Makes me sick.
The MLB flat out whoring its own game for ratings and the sake of being modern. Makes me sick.
Dumbass.
It's terrible. Delete. Of all the games, you have
Delete.
To... I understand moving forward, being modern, blah, 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 blah. I'm all for that in certain ways. But this is baseball, man. This is the tradition of traditions in this country.
There's no rules.
This is the one game you do not F with. And the people in charge of the sport are. It's very disheartening. It's very scary. Unless it all ends up with laser bats, then I'm all for this. I am pro laser bat. Help us, Vince McMahon. You're our only hope. The XLB is going to just be regular old baseball. That's what's going to end up happening. At this rate. I'm with Ground Chuck. I'm with Charlie Morton. Slippery slope towards laser bats. Maybe moats in the outfield with sharks. Laser beams on their freaking heads. Cody, you look really sad talking about all these rule changes in MLB.
I'm not even going to entertain
it. I'm just painting this post-apocalyptic future of sport for you, and are you Googling the nearest bridge to go jump off of? Calm down. None of this has been implemented just yet. We still have our beloved baseball game. We have spring training underway. Yeah! I mean, there's only 6 mound visits per game, but other than that, it's still normal baseball. And the Astros are still the world champs. And they play right here on 103.7 The Game. So we have that to look forward to before the laser bats. 337-706-0111. Coming up next, notorious producer Mafia from Pharrell on the Bench on CBS Sports Radio joins me. We'll ask him about stupid MLB rule changes. Also, really stupid rumored fights in MMA. Punk versus Money. I can't believe that was an actual thing people talked about. And we'll get into everyone going into jail in college basketball. Mafia's next, right here on the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game. Raging Cajuns basketball kicking butt, dominating Sun Belt play, and we will see if they can dominate the Sun Belt basketball tournament in New Orleans coming up here. You could be there to witness it, though, if they could punch their ticket to the tournament. You could be there. 4 tickets to each day of the Sun Belt basketball tournament. That's right. It's 103.7 The Game and JP Thibodeau Honda Nissan Kia's Sun Belt basketball tournament getaway, and it's only in the clubhouse at 103.7thegame.com. Sign up now and enter to win 4 tickets to each day of the Sun Belt tournament. Get a 3-night hotel stay in New Orleans. Get merch vouchers for Sun Belt tournament merch. Get that championship t-shirt when the Cajuns punch their ticket. $50 gift card to Acme Oyster House, and it also includes 4 one-day passes to the zoo, the Audubon Zoo. There's family fun for in the Sun Belt Tournament getaway, only in the clubhouse at 1037thegame.com. Sign up now. It's all power by JP Thibodeau, Honda, Nissan, Kia.
The Cool kids say he's lit. Old folks say he's swell. He's just trying to stay hype. It's the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game.
You better check yourself or you wreck yourself, cause I'm bad for your health. I come real stealth, dropping bombs on your moms. Kill car alarms. Doing foul crime, I'm that brother with the Alpine 7460. Always let tricks know and friends know we got that endo. No, I'm not a sucker sitting in a house of pain. And no, I'm not the butler. I'll cut ya, headbutt ya. You say you can't touch this, and I wouldn't touch ya. Punk, you a sucker. Here to let you know, boy. Oh boy, I make dope. But don't call me dope, boy.
Fighting out of the red corner. Your trigger, my homie, get with ya. Let's get it all.
Connor said he would be down to face Frankie Edgar at UFC 22.
All the belts.
222. I don't know if he for sure actually was interested in doing that, but it certainly is something to think about.
It was a bit of fun.
I don't know if they'll ever fight. And Frankie Edgar's camp saying, Connor totally avoiding Frankie Edgar for 3+ years. It's nuts. I'm just tired of it all, speculating. Just book the fight, Diaz and McGregor, and get it over with.
Never say never, Alan.
You can't. I mean, never thought.
Fight is my life.
Never thought they'd think about getting rid of batting orders in MLB, and all of a sudden, here we are. It's the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com, streaming worldwide on the 103.7 The Game mobile app, powered by the Golf Connection. Let's go to the Artco Equipment Hotline and talk about all this insanity in the world of sport. People going to jail, rules being changed, silly fights being booked. Mafia from Pharrell on the Bench is on the line. What's up, Mafia?
Just messing with Mafia is bad for your health. What's up, Al? How's it going, my man?
What's up, man? It's going kind of odd right now. We're in a weird time of year, and now the MLB's changing rules on us. The NBA's thinking about changing rules, and people are going to jail. Let's start with that. The big news in college basketball today. Ultimately, what do you see happening in the NCAA? Just a whole bunch of schools getting the death penalty, or like major reconstruction of how everything works?
Well, it's definitely got to be major reconstruction about how everything goes, and we've known that forever. I mean, for the last decade, we've had scandal after scandal with the NCAA, whether it be college football, college basketball, and who knows what we're going to do with this, because they've been so inconsistent with their punishment. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you got UNC who's got cheating rampant throughout their whole, you know, academic and athletic program, and they get nothing. Meanwhile, you have Louisville with the sex scandal, and they get a banner taken away. I mean, it's going to be difficult to see what they do now. You never know. I mean, you would think that maybe a school like Michigan is going to be in big trouble because you have the Nassar thing hanging over their head, and now this whole allegations of bad recruiting. You have, you know, UNC, who, like I said, had the academic scandal. Now they have this. I mean, schools like you'd think they have to come down hard on, but, of course, those are also schools that are, you know, prime programs for them. They're bringing big money, that are championship contenders. They didn't take away UNC's banner. And Michigan State has a chance to be in the Final Four and win a title this year with Miles Bridges, who's mentioned this before. So, I mean, Bowen was brought up in the FBI probe the first time he came around. They immediately suspended him. Now we're going to see if they play favorites and don't do that to Bridges and Michigan State.
I can't wait. They might be taking away all the banners. There were no champions in college basketball in the last 20 years. That's what we might end up
Everybody's tied. We all get participation trophies.
That's what they're going to have to do. I mean, all this could have been avoided, though, if there weren't, you know, such strict amateurism rules within the NCAA. But we have the sneaky underground recruiting ring that happens, and this is what you get. And, I mean, this is not a surprise to anybody that this is going on pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, and the big thing that we got to see, too, is how they differentiate some of these charges. Like, are they going to punish the schools more that aid guys who come to their school than they are the schools that got guys legally and then they got paid by agents afterwards when they're getting ready to go to the NBA, like my alma mater, Seton Hall, with Isaiah Whitehead? I mean, I don't know. Is it going to be different punishments in that regard? Or is it going to be, hey, whether you were paid before you got to school or while you were there, it's still the same thing, and we're going to come down on you all the same? I don't know.
It's going to be fun to watch the NCAA play favorites. I think we have an idea of the schools that they're probably not going to – they're going to try to avoid having to really, really punish, and they're going to try to slap the wrists of places like Kentucky and North Carolina, I'm sure. But, oh, my goodness, it is just going to – it's ugly today, and it's only going to get uglier. People are going to jail. I love it. But I don't love these stupid rule changes in all the sports, basically. All the leagues are doing it. It's like a new trend. Every year there's rule changes, Mafia. I can't take it. Nobody can keep up with the NFL. And now baseball and basketball are getting into the mix. I'll start off with rule change number one with you. MLB puts mound visit limits into effect this year. The arbitrary number of six. Are you for or against those?
I'm for that, because how many times you see guys coming out, you know, after one pitch and then they're not on the same page again, they're coming out again, or how many times you see, you know, the pitching coach come out and then the trainer comes out to, you know, pretend the guy's an injury to give the bullpen more time, and then they finally make the change. I'm fine with limiting mound visits. I mean, if they want to put a pitch clock in, I'm fine with that too. You got guys that are like human rain delays, you know, keep the pitches on the mound, keep the batters in the box, stop with, you know, doing your gloves every time you take a swing. It's still Velcro. It's there. Relax and just swing the damn bat. You know, for me, I think they should make changes too as far as bringing these guys in from the bullpen. Why are they warming up 30, you know, throwing 30 pitches out there over two or three innings, and then they got to come in and throw another 10 when they get to the mound? Just have them get out there and throw.
That makes sense to me, but the big factor here is that they're going to try to combat sign stealing with video cameras and phones and technology. Do you think they're going to be able to do that? Because if they can't, you know the Red Sox are going to win all the World Series, because that's what they do in Boston. They spy and they cheat, Mafia. I don't want to see it.
Well, you know what? They're never going to always catch them. If you're not cheating, you're not trying, right? No matter how many times you figure out a way to stop them, they figure out a new way to do it, whether it's doping and PEDs and, you know, ways to get around tests and different drug cocktails they come up with that don't show up in the screens, to sign stealing, to anything else. There's always going to be ways guys are trying to get an edge up. And you know what? That's just sports. Everybody wants to be the winner. No one wants to be second place.
It's true, especially that female hockey player in Canada. She threw her gold medal off of her neck. Mafia from Pharrell.
You won the last four in a row, and you can't take silver one time?
You know, 20 years, you get second once. Calm down. Jeez, let us have our day in the sun. Mafia from Pharrell on the bench joining us here on the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game. You can listen to him nightly right here on The Game every single night from CBS Sports Radio, which is also now on Sirius. Congrats to you guys expanding. MLB trying to expand the rule book, though. This rule is really bad. I hope you're not for this. Rule number two, MLB is considering allowing trailing teams in the ninth inning to not have to adhere to a batting order. Do you want to see that
happen?
Yeah,
that's the most asinine thing I've ever heard of. I mean, I'm an Ashley guy, so I don't even like the DH. I want the managers to have to actually work for their money, come up with good decisions, and make, you know, the hard choices. So doing something like that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of, because not only are you just screwing up record books and giving guys extra at-bats and just trying to make the game more ridiculous, but what happens after those three guys if they do put this in? They haven't talked about that. All we've heard of is, hey, you can throw any three guys out there in the bottom of the ninth if you're down. Okay, but that doesn't mean you're going to take you down four runs and three guys aren't going to tie it. What do you do after that? Do you go back to the batting order? Do you start from the top? Do you, you know, who knows? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, Charlie Morton from the Astros, he said the next thing you know, there's going to be, you know, lasers coming out of things like Cyclops. I said this is probably going to lead to teams just full of designated hitters and designated fielders. And they're going to be 18 different guys playing in games. You won't even have to mix and match them. You won't even have to manage a team anymore. It's going to be great.
We'll go Rock and Jock rules. You know, if you hit it over 450 feet, home run is two runs. Over 500, is three runs.
Yes. I feel like Dan Cortez is the commissioner of baseball right now with all the ridiculous rule changes they're thinking of. The NBA is also thinking of a rule change, a format change to the playoffs. There's been a few suggestions. One of them being 1 through 16 seeds, get rid of conferences being a factor in the playoffs. Another being the last few seeds being determined by a mini tournament. Do you want to see any change to the NBA playoffs?
You know, I'm okay with the 1 to 16, just doing it that way. It makes it interesting. I mean, you know, you always have complaints that it's easy for LeBron and the East to get through and it's top heavy out west. I mean, you always have a little bit of the balance on the powers at times. I mean, when Hayward comes back next year, who knows, Boston might be the best team or they might be the second best. But for now, you know, the best teams are Golden State, Houston. So you want to see those teams match up in the finals against the best and not have to play, you know, a round or two before you get to the finals. But still, you know, some people are going to hate that. They're the old school where you have conferences and all that kind of stuff. I'm okay with that. But the other one I think is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of, this whole playing game like it's the NCAA tournament. I hate it when they went from 64 to 60 to the NCAA. I think it's stupid, just a money grab. And to do that in the NBA is even worse, because now the proposition that they've brought up is that, okay, 7 plays 8 for the 7th seed, 9 plays 10, and then whoever loses 7-8 plays 9-10 for the 8th seed. It's like, okay, so then the first see sitting there for a week off and getting cold and, you know, not knowing who the heck they're playing for 5 days. And, you know, the AC has to play two games before they get down. I mean, there are disadvantages enough as it is when you're playing like the Miami Heat, the Raptors at this point. Like, you're throwing two extra games before you even have to play the best team. They're screwed.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous total money grab. That's the NBA getting fed up with hoping for game sevens and just wanting to get, you know, a do or die for sure on the ledger there. That's absolutely why they would do that. I really would not want to see that. The 1 through 16 idea, that's not bad. I mean, divisions already don't mean anything in the NBA. Why should conferences? I'm all for, I would be for that. I wouldn't be upset. Traditionalist in me, though, says keep it the way it is. But 1 through 16 is not a bad idea. So why do we have to change all the rules all of a sudden, Mafia? What is this? Are we just losing our attention span?
Their short attention span.
Yeah,
these kids can't sit around and watch a full game. You got to be, you know, within 2 hours. Have five different things going on the screen at once so they can have their, you know, their ADD brains watching and the game's not good enough anymore. It's ridiculous.
Isn't it enough to have your Twitter machine in front of your face? You can watch another game while you're at the game. You got everything going on already. Why change the rules of the game? It's disheartening, Mafia, the direction we're headed in. And then you look at a sport where none of those kind of rule changes are happening, but there's some sort of tide shift happening in MMA with the way they're booking fights. We've been talking about the age of the super fight, but now it's just getting sad. The latest rumors for super fights to be, you know, being pondered by the UFC or Bellator, who knows where these will happen. Well, we know CM Punk and Floyd Mayweather would be UFC. And the other ones, Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell, 3. Which is the more ridiculous rumor you've heard in the past week?
You know, they'll be equally as ridiculous. I mean, if you're throwing Mayweather in there, the only one people want to see him fight is Conor, but that would be an absolutely terrible fight if they're in the cage and terrible fight if they're in the boxing ring. So it's just a money grab again if they do that. And CM Punk, I mean, that would be the only fight the guy could win in the UFC because then he could actually use wrestling and take Mayweather down. Otherwise, he'd just be at a loss against any opponent once again. So that's just a terrible idea. No one's going to buy that to me. And Tito Ortiz or Chuck Liddell, I mean, it's really, you know, they're like 45, 48 years old. I mean, Chuck hasn't fought in 8 years. He got knocked out the last 5 fights. So what are they thinking? Like, I know the guy probably needs the money, but is it worth it? Like, what's the rest of your life going to be like if you get knocked out a 6th time and get embarrassed by Tito Ortiz? You beat him twice. Why not, you know, leave it as it is and not try to get that red mark on your record there?
I mean, he already went out, you know, 3 knockouts in a row. 2 of my favorite memories as a young MMA fan were Chuck Liddell beating the hell out of Tito Ortiz. I loved it. I love seeing him lose. If the Iceman comes back, I'm almost ready to start a GoFundMe, Mafia, to keep Chuck Liddell from returning. We'll give him whatever money. We'll figure out a way to get him the funds that he's in need of. And for whatever reason, he's thinking of getting back into a cage. Can't he just go be in a couple movies or something? There's got to be another way.
Right, go be a broadcaster. Everyone else is getting into that. You got Big John tonight. Everyone's, you know, sees who's calling what fights. And, I mean, I can't see the UFC doing that. I know they love the money grab. Is anybody really buying that at this point? They had a bad falling out with Tito when he left. They fired Tuck a couple of years ago, so there's got to be bad blood there. I mean, I know money cures all, but that's going to happen to me. It would be in Bellator. And I love Scott Coker, and I've always been a fan of Bellator, but the fights they're putting on sometimes would be super fights, especially Dragon Del Sana and some of these other guys. It's like, what are you doing? You're just diluting the product here. You're making yourself a sideshow. You're not making yourself a legit organization.
Yeah, I mean, it's all basically turning into, you know, celebrity boxing was. You know, remember that? They'd get Horseshack to face Gary Coleman or something. And that's what CM Punk and Floyd Mayweather would remind me of. Bellator with the heavyweight Grand Prix. It's very interesting, but you do have some guys who do not belong in there. But wow, the state of MMA, right, at least until the summer, is a very bizarre time. But I think it'll pick up once the cards start getting better, especially in the UFC. And we won't be shaking our heads as much. But we need to shoot down the Tito Chuck 3 rumors real quick.
Absolutely.
Mafia, man, thanks as always for setting things straight and helping us get through all this chaos, man. We love listening to you every single night with Scott. And we'll holler at you down the road.
Always my pleasure. Anytime.
Mafia, Pharrell on the Bench, nightly right here on 103.7 The Game. And we'll always be down to talk fighting with him. We got UFC 222 coming up. Cyborg, Frankie Edgar. And then 223, 224, we're going to get real good cards that Cody might actually know, you know, guys actually fighting. He'll be excited for that. You know, you'll definitely be watching. I know you're watching the Grand Prix, though, right? You watch it? Mitrione and Nelson?
Not live, but yes.
Yeah, on your DVRing. Good. You watch that on tape. That's part of your job, Cody. Also part of your job description. getting all the headlines we missed together, putting them in a bag, and then giving everybody the information. No more edging.
Prepare for the climax.
The finish to this week's Alan Michaels Show. Coming up next as we wrap it up, B. You're listening to 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. At least now I know. The weekend, it is approaching, but not before we wrap it up, B. It's the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Time to clean house. We're going deep, Cody, into this week's headlines we missed.
That's right, Alan. Here we go. Crank it up. Got a lot to cover. Drexel, they set the men's Division I record for a comeback win. They overcame a 34-point deficit in the first half to beat Delaware.
Hi, I'm in Delaware. Drexel, that's in is that in Philly?
I don't know. They beat the team that Joe Flacco played football for, so I'm happy.
Me too, but there's a lot of juice going on in Philly. Let's keep that away from the Flyers.
Black Panther fans are pranking Wakanda, Illinois with vibranium requests.
I haven't seen it yet, but I know that that's the land of the Black Panther, Wakanda.
Is unobtainium really hard to obtain?
I don't know about that.
The Olympic athletes of Russia, they won their first gold medal of the games just this morning.
OAR! OAR!
This town! This they won it when 15-year-old Aliana Zagatova topped the figure skating podium.
The champ.
Good for her. 15 years old.
Nostrovia.
A new vibrator can reportedly order pizza for you after an orgasm.
Woo! Pepperoni.
Larry Nance Jr. recently joined the Cavs and will switch from number 24 to the retired number 22 that his pops, Larry Nance Sr., wore.
Pulling up in the deuce.
Not bad. Federal lawsuit claims, this is kind of dirty to be honest, federal lawsuit claims the president of a private Baptist college in Louisiana refused to approve a football coach hiring because of what he called the applicant's, quote, Jewish blood.
What a scumbag.
I'm not even going to play a snap. Not even going to click anything.
That's happened here?
No.
Yeah, it has. I've also got the Pittsburgh Pirates, Alan. They have acquired all-star outfielder Corey Dickerson.
Yeah! You're an all-star. Root for our home team, a new pirate generation. Everybody shout.
He's going to join McCutcheon there in the outfit.
Shut up. No. Damn it. Dang. And also, he was an all-star, and then after the all-star break, Corey Dickerson sucked. A lot of power, a lot of strikeouts.
The NBA, they're instituting a confidential hotline for team and league employees to register concerns of improper conduct.
Stay in your lane.
You can call in 909-9930-LINE to the NBA hotline. You need your parents' permission, team, but if they say no, tell them screw off. You need to know all the NBA information and also complain about the NBA players.
You hit it there at the end. There's a complaint box now in every locker room. Adam Silver, you were cool. You're so cool. And finally, Adam Vinatieri, he signed a one-year deal with the Colts, meaning the 46-year-old will play in his 23rd NFL season.
You never give up!
I mean, 23, he's on his Michael Jordan grind.
Never stop kicking, Adam Vinatieri. All right, let's get to it. It is time to crown this week's Best in the World.
I am the best in the world.
I'm the best in the world at what I do.
The Alan Michaels Show presents this week's Best in the World.
This week's Best in the World. Well, you could spell his name. I think that would be the best way to introduce him. J-E-F-F. J-A-R-R-E-T. What's that spell? Ha ha! Jeff Jarrett. Not just for getting into the W.
J-E-F-F. J-A-R-R-E-T. That's double J, Jeff Jarrett.
Ain't he great? Yeah. Not only for getting into the WWE Hall of Fame, but also for retweeting 103.7 The Game yesterday.
What a guy.
That's the pinnacle. We've reached the top. We have done it. Double J retweeted our Today's Game
hashtag
video yesterday.
WWEHOF.
You need to go watch it. Clint Domain doing the Double J Jeff Jarrett strut is the funniest thing you'll see all week. This week's...
is this Rudy
Jabroni of the Week is none other than Leon O'Neal Jr. Who the hell's that, Alan Michael? That's that punk kid freshman at Texas A&M who called out LSU and got into it with Darius Geis. Who cannot wait for Devin White to knock this guy's block off this season? Oh, my goodness. You are a jabroni, Leon
Knuck
O'Neal.
Knuck if you buck, Leon.
You better come thugging and bugging if you're going to talk all that trash.
Where does he go to school again?
A&M.
Makes sense.
That's it.
Hey, how many times has A&M beat LSU since joining the SEC?
Zero.
That's what I thought. Keep talking. Keep talking.
He has zero carries, and we have zero time because we are out of it. The weekend is here. Enjoy yourself.
Where did Tony Schiavone come from?
Bust-ass job, Cody. Thanks to Mafia and the King, George Faust. Thanks to all you who got involved at 103.7 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. We'll see you Monday. Until then, have a good time all the time.